Good morning. I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. It's good to have you with us here today for the Congregation of Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer around God's Word. It is Thursday, August 18th, 2022. Coming to you a few minutes late. About 40 minutes ago, told my computer to reboot and apply a security patch, and you know how these things go. All right. Those of you, well, you're probably mostly on computers. Good to see you. Checking in on the chat. We've got quite a few of you here today with us. Karen, Vicky, Lori, Jennifer, Grace as well, Don and Karen. All right. And I'm sure others as well will jump on as they have opportunity. And of course, many watch later on in the day, either or also listen to the podcast, right? So lots of opportunity. Good. Let's begin. Maybe. Oh, yes. Rebooting. Everything changes. There we go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, and he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So I got a little distracted there by Jennifer's comment. From Pennsylvania, we listen to you every week. Well, all the way from Wisconsin to Pennsylvania. There you go. Let's say our memory verse for this week. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Our psalm is Psalm 120. In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue, a warrior's sharp arrows, with glowing coals of the broom tree? Woe to me that I sojourn in Mesach, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The first reading is from the prophet Malachi, chapter 3. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up, they even tempt God and go free. And those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord, and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Some of my favorite prophetic writing is this sort of writing where you've got this dialogue between God and his people. In this case, actually, three different groups of people, right? We have God speaking against those who have rejected him, but also speaking to those who receive him, right, in faith. And we have both going on at the same time. I don't know, maybe we don't think about our reading and meditating upon God's word as a dialogue, that God is speaking to us and we are returning our speech to him. But that is precisely what it is. It is the very voice of God in the person of Jesus Christ. So, listen, but also respond, right? In prayer is the response of faith, right? Is to pray, which is what we're doing here. All right. This actually is a helpful reading. This will get us prepared for this Sunday's reading, which is not from Luke, but from Matthew, but of the same account, I believe. Matthew, no, it is actually Luke. It's Luke 19. So we're going back to Luke 19 on Sunday. Right, but we've been kind of spinning around towards, or getting closer towards, his suffering and his crucifixion and death. Jesus said, "When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. For there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." All right, good. So how would they know the destruction of Jerusalem was near? What is the sign that Jesus gives them that the destruction is near? Jerusalem will be, verse 20 there, surrounded by armies. All right, now he's telling you this beforehand, as Jesus does, as a warning, right, for preparation. And what warning does Jesus give to the church then? 21, the faithful, right, should flee Jerusalem, abandon it. Why would these days of vengeance come? Why should they abandon it? What does Jesus say in verse 22 here? Excuse me. All these things which are written may be fulfilled, right? It's fatalistic. Their judgment has been declared, and it will come about. All right. Who receives a special warning here? Verse 23. Those who are pregnant or nursing babies. If you know the account of the destruction of Jerusalem, maybe we'll consider it on Sunday a little bit. This is certainly the case, is that these women, well, they're burdened. One, they can't move as quickly if they do need to flee. And two, those who are remained in Jerusalem and were under siege, terrible things happened to them and their children. What did he then say of Jerusalem? Verse 24, her people would be led away captive, and Jerusalem would be trampled by the Gentiles. All right, now again, these words are being preached. We're now in Holy Week, right? And what is Jesus then describing here in verse 25 through 27? Right, we're talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, and then Jesus moves to the destruction of the earth, right? The final day, the judgment day, right? But, as we'll see in a couple chapters, many of these things are partially fulfilled. We have a little judgment at Jesus' death, right? With the sun not giving up its light, right? Earthquakes and these sort of things. But in the midst of all this, again, he gives the warning to flee, but then he also gives the promise, right? And the promise is that your redemption is drawing near, right? So this is always the key when we're listening to these words of judgment, is as we talked about with temptation in the Lord's Prayer, that God always provides a means of escape, right? There is always, and the means of escape is Jesus himself, of course, right? Through the forgiveness of sins, in his church, with fellow Christians whom he has gathered you to, right? So even in the midst of great tribulation, God provides the way out, which is the way is Jesus. Good. Meditation then. Jesus prepared his disciples for the hour of his death, even as he preached about the day of his final return. In his death, the world has been judged, for he has borne the iniquity of us all. Those who reject Christ reject his forgiveness and will faint from terror on the day of his return. Those who live by faith in the Son of God will lift up their heads and see their Redeemer coming to deliver them. How are we to stand on the day of his coming? We are to hold fast to his words, for he created the heavens and the earth by his word, and he has brought us to life through the same word of his gracious love. We are to keep watch and pray that the word, with that word, I should say, we should watch and pray with that word as we do when we gather around word and sacrament. There we stand before the Son of Man even now, so that we escape and stand before the Son of Man when he returns to judge the living and the dead. All right. The Gentiles were warsome. Everyone was warsome or warlike, right? But God allowed, in particular, we've talked about this when we studied Zechariah, right, on Sunday mornings, allowed both the Assyrians and then later the Babylonians to conquer northern and southern kingdoms, right? as a way of repenting them, changing their hearts. And now he's going to allow Jerusalem to be overcome. This will happen under Nero in particular in AD 70. So about 35 years after Jesus prophetically speaks these words. And there in particular, again, for repentance, but also to scatter the faithful throughout the Roman Empire, thereby also spreading the gospel. Because remember, Jesus had told them to go out to all nations, and yet majority of the disciples remained in Jerusalem until that day, all right, or even after that day. So God even uses the wickedness of foreign kings and armies and things like war to bring about repentance, but also to bring about his good and gracious will amongst us. God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose, even war. All right. Let us confess our catechism here. What is confession? Confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins, and second, that we receive absolution, that is, forgiveness from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. Which sins should we confess? Before God, we should plead guilty of all sins, even those we are not aware of, as we do in the Lord's Prayer. But before the pastor, we should confess only those sins that we know and feel in our hearts, which are these. Consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. Are you a father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, or worker? Have you been disobedient, unfaithful, or lazy? Have you been hot-tempered, rude, or quarrelsome? Have you hurt someone by your words or deeds? Have you stolen, been negligent, wasted anything, or done any harm? We pray. O Lord, I give you thanks and praise that you have forgiven me all my sin as a free gift of your grace. You died for me because you love me, and you rose from the dead so that I might receive the gift of salvation and walk in newness of life. By your forgiveness, teach me to renounce the devil, to deny myself, and to live a holy life in the joy and confidence that my sins are forgiven. Amen. All right, let's sing our hymn for the week. Thy works, not mine, O Christ. Thy work's not mine, O Christ. Speak gladness to this heart. They tell me all is done. They bid my fear depart. To whom save thee who canst alone for sin atone? Lord, thy wounds not mine, O Christ, can heal my bruised soul. Thy stripes not mine contain, the balm that makes me whole. To whom save thee who canst alone for sin atone, Lord, shall thy cross not mine, O Christ, has borne the crushing load of sins that none could bear but the incarnate God. To whom save thee who canst alone for sin, O Lord, thy death not mine, O Christ, has paid the ransom too. 10,000 deaths like mine would have been all too few. To whom save thee who canst alone for sin atone, Lord, shall thy righteousness, O Christ, alone can cover me. No righteousness avails save that which Let us pray our collect for the week. Let your merciful ears, O Lord, be open to the prayers of your humble servants, and that they may obtain their petitions, make them to ask such things as shall please you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I pray today for the church and her pastors, for missionaries, teachers, deaconesses, and other servants of Christ and his church, for the fruitful and salutary use of the blessed sacrament of the Lord's body and blood. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Pray today in thanksgiving with Cora, who celebrates her baptism, with Doug and Lisa, who celebrate their anniversary, with our households, Roger and Sherry, Matt and Vicky, Catherine, Douglas, Stephen and Morgan, Rachel. Pray in thanksgiving with Tim and with Cheryl. Pray for our catechumens, Matt and Maureen. Pray for those ill receiving treatment or recovering, especially Marcella, Joe, Pastor Coda, Kelsey, Dan, Brad, Ron, and Taylor, Lenore, and Pat, our homebound, Bev, Willis, Ed, Mickey, Paul, and Pauline. Pray for the missions and mercy work of the church, especially our mission of the month, the Gathering Place. We ask the Lord to grant us a denial of self, and we ask your comfort upon those grieving, especially the family and friends of Marcia. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right, it's been a joy to have you with us here today for the Congregation of Prayer. A little bit briefer, got a few minutes late start too. So there you go. You can join us again tomorrow, Friday, for prayer in the morning, and Saturday as well. All right, so blessings to you this day and always, and we'll see you again tomorrow. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center, in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.